Today, we are going to take a look at cash value life insurance and, in particular, taking income from life insurance policies. We're going to look at really some items we should always examine as far as what should I model, what could be dangerous, what happens if a policy lapses, because taking money from a life insurance policy via income has been marketed both with whole life and universal life for a long time. And really, this is going to lead us right into bullet point number one here. Where it is so attractive is if we do everything right, we overfund a life insurance policy, and then we come to take income down the road, it's tax-free. That's the attraction to so many people. If I do things right, I can take my income out really on a tax-free basis, can almost create, call it a private pension in a sense. I don't know that I'd use that verbiage, but a lot of companies do. It's very similar in some ways. So, as mentioned, this is a major driver for cash value life insurance in the industry as a whole. Reason being is it's attractive. If I can create an income stream for myself down the road that is in a private account, private policy, meaning I'm not reliant on another institution, government, or anything to provide income for me. Also, where I have guarantees here, that's attractive. It's going back to the core fundamentals of a cash value life insurance policy. Safe, liquid, tax-free area I can position money. Goes right in line with the income feature, which we're going to look at in more depth today. Now, a point that validates this, and this really is where I learned a lot of the ins and outs of the industry, is in modeling policies for corporations, is when you look at a SERP plan, Supplemental Executive Retirement Plan, which a lot of corporations use as a means to retain their key employees or their executives. The vehicle used to fund these SERP plans in many cases is, guess what? Cash value life insurance. And sometimes it is a pure COLI plan. BOLIs can be used in some way, though a traditional BOLI is usually a single premium MEC. A lot of times with a SERP plan, we're using traditional life insurance policies, meaning when I modeled a setup for a corporation, they were policies that are exactly the same as what we will use for individuals. Minimum premium, maximum cash, going back to the policy design, which I don't need to touch on since anyone who's watched any of our webinars has seen this every single time, in addition to major mutual companies. So I'm going to stop there at that point. So, with the SERP's main point is when we set up a policy for a corporation, companies will use this really as a means to put policies on their executives. One, it creates a retention strategy. So the corporation retains their key talent, top employees. Now, if I am working for a corporation, say at age 40, and the company says to me, Mr. 40-year-old executive, we're going to take this policy out on you, and we, the company, are going to fund it with X amount of dollars per year, 50,000, whatever amount they pay into the account. If I'm the 40-year-old executive, I say, okay. Sounds good. I may or may not have to go through underwriting, depending on the corporate plan, how many employees and such this is on. But what the company will also say to me is, hey, if anything happens to you, Mr. 40-year-old executive, we do have this life insurance policy on you in which the death benefit is payable to the company. The 40-year-old executive naturally says, hey, what's in it for me? Like, why am I going through this medical exam? And if I die, you really cash in on my death. So what the company will say to the 40-year-old executive is, if You stay with the company through our vesting period. The company makes it up however they want. Let's say it's age 65. Us, the company, will pay you, now the retired executive, an income stream, a supplemental retirement benefit. Where this often comes from are the cash values of a life insurance policy. This is what a lot of corporations do with these accounts. It is an attractive means where the corporation has cash value as an asset on their balance sheet because the company owns it, but they are supplementing that executive's retirement with an income stream from the cash value life insurance policy. Main reason I'm going into this, it just validates that individuals and big corporations with a ton of money are using these and have been using these for income for a long period of time, which is more or less proof that it works. Now, a couple of points we're going to go through here. One is properly pulling money from a life insurance policy. There are two transactional manners in which I can actually get money out of a life insurance account. One, I can take a withdrawal. And this is similar to a withdrawal from any account, right? If I withdraw money from a 5% bank account, right, what's going to happen? If I have 100K in a bank, and in fairyland world, that bank is earning 5%. If I pull out 50K, 50K is remaining, what's going to earn 5%, the 50K remaining? With a life insurance policy, I can withdraw funds or I can take out loans. If I withdraw, there is a lost opportunity cost. Withdrawals often make sense when I'm pulling income from the account, when I'm practicing the banking concept, borrowing and repaying, leveraging the account. Withdrawals often do not make sense. Now, when it comes to policy withdrawals, because we always hear of life insurance marketed tax-free, tax-free, tax-free. That's why I always throw in, or we always throw in, it is tax-free if we do everything properly. Assuming we have a non-MEC policy, when I take policy withdrawals, they're not taxed up to our cost basis. Our cost basis is how much we've paid in. We're going to see an example on this shortly. Withdrawals above my cost basis are taxed as ordinary income. So it's not capital gains or anything like that. Based on my ordinary income, based on my tax bracket. So it could be substantial based on how much I'm earning in a particular year or receiving in retirement income. So withdrawals are one transactional method in which I can pull money from an account. The other are policy loans. Loans are not taxed as ordinary income, provided that the policy is one, not a MEC. And then two, we have the second piece typed, provided the policy does not lapse. We're going to go through this in a bit as well. It's important to be aware of when taxes can occur. If a policy lapses with a loan outstanding, I could potentially run into an issue there. And these are questions I want to ask when I am looking at an income scenario, or my agent should be modeling them, making me aware of everything up front. Now, when I take loans, especially if I'm not paying them back, and often in retirement, most people are not. It's kind of counterproductive, especially in their mind, to say, okay, I'm going to pull out income of 50K a year. Why would I pay back $2,000 in loan interest? It's kind of counterproductive. No, to keep it clean, I want to pull out income and not pay anything back. No loan balance, no loan interest, nothing. And it can be done. I've just got to make sure I model everything properly. I'll throw the word conservatively in there as well. And you'll see exactly what we mean when we get into the samples. Quick note here is in most cases, if I loan out every penny and I don't make any premium payments, I don't make any loan interest payments, the policy likely will lapse. Now, the most efficient manner to pull income. So again, this does not revolve around the idea of the banking concept in the sense of borrowing, repaying, and leveraging the policy as a financing tool. I'm only looking to maximize my income. And in particular, when we've studied the guarantees here, in most cases, we want to withdraw up to our cost basis first and foremost, and then begin to take out loans to prevent a taxable event. Because if I withdraw above my cost basis, what will happen? I'll have to pay taxes on everything I pull out above what I paid in, the gains, more or less. And this is assuming I have a non-MEC policy. Taxes are still possible with non-MEC accounts. So, risks and potential consequences of taking income from a policy. We touched on this. We're going to go through it in detail now. A policy lapse. So, if a policy lapses and I've taken out more money than what I've paid in, I'm going to receive a tax bill. Quick example here is over any period of time, whether I did it in a couple of years, whether I've paid it in over 10 or 20 years, doesn't matter. If I've contributed $100,000, and let's assume the cash has appreciated and grown to $300,000. I pull out $300,000. This is pretty simple math, meaning I've pulled out $200,000 more than what I've paid in. Good deal. If the policy lapses, which can happen, we're going to show a model of exactly how and why that would happen. In this case, even though I loaned out the $200,000 above what I paid in, so I paid in 100, cash has grown to 300. When I'm starting to take income, we'll assume here I withdraw up to 100K. Then I begin to loan the rest, the additional 200K. And I say to my agent, hey, I want to pull out every penny because I think I'm going to die at 85 years old. I've pulled out every penny. My agent tells me, well, if I'm loaning money out, that's tax-free. The policy lapses. What will happen here? I've pulled out a total of 300K. A lapse occurs. What will happen? The IRS, the insurance company will report this to them. We'll notice that I've paid in 100. I pulled out 300. That's where the taxable gain of 200K comes in. I'm going to get a 1099 for that on top of my ordinary income, regardless of what age that occurs. So it's important to be aware of that. I know that that is not touched on as frequently as it needs to be in this industry. Easy to prevent if we know what we're doing and or if we're asking the right questions, but definitely something we should be aware of. Items to consider when we are looking at income scenarios. Projections. If we're ever looking at an illustration and someone showing us income, in most cases, it's based off a company's present crediting rate. So if I'm looking at a whole life policy, it's based off the present dividend rate, 2019 rate, if it's 6.4, 6%, whatever it might be. Also, it's the company's present insurance expenses and present loan rate. If it's variable, it's important to be aware of that, as an adjustment will impact how much money I can take out, especially if I have zero intention of paying any of that loan interest or loan balance down. It is always beneficial to view a conservative crediting rate or a conservative income amount, meaning if the maximum amount of income I can pull out of a policy is $100,000 per year, it's beneficial to see a model with $80,000 a year coming out. Always better to model something more conservative and be able to pull out that amount or more. What happens quite a bit, just in the insurance industry in general, is really from a sales perspective, most will model the maximum amount of income we can take out. And then if rates decline, things change, I've modeled 100K policyholder can only take out 70K. That's not really a position the policyholder wants to be in, or the agent. Now you got to come back and explain why things underperformed. If we were modeling it more conservative, we're setting expectations more realistic. And then two, if I model 70, but I can pull out 100, hey, that's great. That just goes to kind of common sense and setting expectations properly. But as things do change in the industry, the insurance company's expenses, dividend rate, all that good stuff, always best to go conservative. Income models. So we're going to look at a couple examples here. We're going to look at illustrations direct from the insurance carriers instead of just putting everything on Excel like we usually do. I might pull up some software too. What's most efficient? Because we've gotten this question a couple times. Do I withdraw and then loan? Or do I only take out loans? Because going back to the whole idea of the banking concept, especially if it's a non-direct recognition company, I'm going to earn dividends and interest on everything. So can it potentially be in my best interest to only take out loans? You're going to see the answer is no, especially from a guaranteed standpoint, but it's something good to see. So look at this. And then also looking at a level income stream versus fluctuating income. This is probably one of my favorite things to discuss, because whenever one looks at an income model, typically what the insurance company, agency, or agent will do is go into the disbursement section and select the solve button, which shows from age 65, whatever I start, to age 90, I pull out, or it solves for the max amount of income. Maybe it's 50K a year, which is all well and good, but really what I am doing there is modeling something similar to an annuity. Here's how much I can pull out just with a level income stream. And some people like that. However, especially those that use the policy for borrowing and repaying in as the banking concept over time, typically we don't want to be locked into an income stream. Anyone who's got an entrepreneur mindset likely likes the idea of saying, okay, I'm told I can take out 50K. Does that mean I'm locked into that per year? No. If I want to, I can take out 50K the first year. Year two, I'm going to take out 80K. Then 10K. Meaning I can dip into it and take out money at my discretion. I do not have to just turn the income switch on and that's what I'm locked in at for life. No, I've got flexibility there where I can actually make a transaction every year as many times as I want per year. I can change things up, which is nice. I don't have to just turn an income switch on just like an annuity. I get my check each month or each year. If that's what I want, you can certainly do that. But at the same time, if I want to be able to adjust contributions, or I should say distributions, pull out different amounts, I can do that. Supplement my income as I need or I want, rather than just be told, hey, here's how much you can pull out. All right, let's look at some models here. So we ran some examples with, as usual, a couple of the major mutual carriers. And what we'll model here first is we've got a Mass Mutual. We used a 10 pay only because when modeling income, It's a bit cleaner. The policy design is not optimal. We're breaking even very close to year five, but typically with our mass models, we're breaking even a little bit earlier than that. Don't want to focus 100% on the policy design. What I want to focus on here primarily is the income. So just to kind of set everything or set the parameters, these models are going to assume a 40-year-old male funding a policy for 10 years at 50 a year, and we can change this to whatever we want. It could be 5 a year. Point is just to show different numbers. Funding it for 10 years, and then I'm going to take income, you'll see starting at age 65 through age 95. I'm sorry, through age 90, I believe. That's what I ran. Yeah. Okay. So the first thing. Here's my contribution. Here's my cash. And just to note this, I can practice borrowing from the policy, the whole idea from the banking concept, and use it for income down the road. I don't need a separate policy for that. But a lot of people mention that in the past. Not the case. If I borrow and repay, this is a non-direct recognition example here. So if I loan out half a million bucks here, and I pay it back at age 64, the loans, the loan interest, everything, it's a non-direct recognition company. What's my cash value going to look like? Fully restored to exactly what it would have been as if I had never touched it in the first place, which is good. Now, what we ran here from 65 to 90 was an income solve. 65. The annual amount, this is kind of annuitizing a policy, this oddball figure, 67,593. We'll show you how we came to this figure. What I want to highlight though in the illustration is I paid in a total of 500K. That would be what? My cost basis, my total contributions. You'll see where I'm going with this. Take note of this column right here, annual loans. You will not see this column start to populate numbers, meaning taking loan disbursements, until I meet my cost basis through withdraws. There's 6 years of 67.5. MassMutual's got to break everything up here. All right. All of a sudden, and these illustrations are very sloppy, but I start to see a loan processed each year. What happened in this example is I was pulling out, and I continue to pull out 67,593 until taking out total withdraws of 500K. At that point in time, this switched over to taking income with zero interest payments, no loan balance repayments, nothing like that, to loans until age 90. And this was run at a solve where I'm leaving plenty of juice in the account. Nice bucket of cash value. So if I want to pull out more, I can. One thing, this is actually good to touch on here, my loan balance column. So let's assume at 95, my loan balance is $2.5 million. Cash remaining is $267,000. I kicked the bucket. Loan balance is 2.52. Keep that in mind. Net death benefit. Keyword here is net. So with most companies, small and large, if I'm modeling loans, the death benefit factor will include the net factor, meaning at 95, The death benefit here is $606,000. What did that loan balance read? $2.5 million. The 606 is stating, okay, if you die at 95, the net death benefit after satisfying the loan is $606,000 past tax-free, income tax-free to your beneficiaries. So that death benefit is a net figure that already factors in that loan balance. But again, here's a solve where I withdrew up to my basis and then I started to loan out the rest. 67.5. Next, let's look at a sample where it's the exact same policy, 50 for 10 years. Let it sit and grow, and at 65, I start to take income. The difference here is I manually plugged in $70,000. I deliberately pulled out more than what I knew I could. You're going to see an issue pop up here, and I want to address the whole situation of if a lapse were to occur, what would happen. $70,000 a year is coming out. Little higher than the 67.5, but I'm doing it for a long period of time. Okay. At age 90, there's my last withdrawal, combination of withdrawals and loans. We pulled it out for 25 years. Pulled out $1,750,000. Now, I pulled income out. What's my cash value read? 254. So in theory, or I should say, if I look at this, it makes it look like, okay, I still have cash. I could continue to pull money out. Not the case, though. What's important to note here is I've pulled out an excessive amount relative to what I have in the account, and the loan interest is actually outweighing the interest earned on the policy. Loan interest is greater than interest earned. That's why my values are going down. What's happening here, the policy is borrowing from itself to satisfy the loan interest. Okay. Now, this column is my annual outlay. Now, I know this is age of 96. So some people might say, I don't care, I'll be dead by then. But it's important to be aware of because this could happen earlier as well. What's happening here? My out-of-pocket was zero. Now, all of a sudden, I see these oddball numbers saying you need to pay this much money in. Okay? What's happening? This is calling, or this is pretty much stating, if I don't pay this in, the policy will lapse. This is the additional out-of-pocket required to prevent a policy lapse. Okay. If at 96 years old, or whenever this occurs, could happen at 86, depending on how much I pull out. Remember, I've paid in $500,000, my contributions. I've pulled out $1.75 million. That's substantially more, $1.25 million more than what I paid in. The policy lapses, what would that result in? Yeah, 1099 income tax on that amount. Important to be aware of this stuff. This is an extreme example, but this kind of stuff has happened. We've seen it happen more so with universal life accounts when people are pulling income out because you've got a renewable term insurance expense in there, cap rates, and the performance isn't always there. So that's where we've seen it happen, but it can happen with whole life, just like what we see here in this illustration. The next example is pulling loans only from the policy. So I can, again, take withdrawals up to my cost basis. I can also take out loans forever. Here's the same 10-pay policy. I started income at age 65. The difference here is my annual loan column. So the first year I take an income payment, $59K, that's in the form of a loan. Now each year, you see, I pull out the exact same amount of income, $59,227, yet my annual loan increases. Why that is I'm pulling out the $59,227 in the form of a personal policy loan. In addition, what's happening, there is a loan interest due, which in this example, we're not paying. So the policy is loaning from itself to pay the interest. It's borrowing from itself to pay the loan interest. So each year I take a loan, I'm going to take this amount for my income. And the loan interest due is satisfied by the cash value as well. So why it is less than what I saw in the withdraw up to my cost basis first, and then loan out the rest, really is because from the get-go, we're putting ourselves in a position where the policy has to pay for itself and it has to cover the loan interest. So what happens at age 90, I've got $611 left, but since my loan balance is so big, $3 million plus, a lot more loan interest due. What happens? Cash value decreases pretty quickly. If I manually make this 60 or 65K, a lapse is going to occur, which I don't want. Two more examples, and then we're done. Here's a Guardian example. Here's a max blended policy. 10% base, everything else in the cash, 1090 split. All right, looks good. Break even point between years 3 and 4, non-MEC, this is what I want from a design standpoint. What we ran here was first taking a level income stream out, and a column I want to highlight is my cumulative net after tax outlay. The nice thing about this is going to model how much I've paid in total, $500,000. And then when I start to take out income, you see my cumulative net outlay actually decreases. It's showing, okay, I'm getting closer to pulling more money out than what I've paid in. The nice thing here as well, we'll see a relationship. Is once I exceed or I pull out more than what I paid in, I exceed my cost basis, what happens? Where does the income stream come from? It's all loans at this point. So this example here, actually, I jumped the gun, but that's all right, is I modeled fluctuating income amounts. So what we did was show from year 2564 through 69, pulling $70,000 a year out. I can change it each year. I just went in increments of 5, so I didn't have to punch in every single year. Then the next 5 years, you want to look at that net after tax outlay. This displays the net income the consumer is actually receiving. And I pull out 100, then 50, then 90. Point being is we do not have to solve for a fixed or level income stream. So what this is assuming is I paid in $500,000. The end of the road here, I pulled out that $500,000 in income plus an additional $1.32 million, which all came out via loans. The first $500,000 came out via withdraws. Still have $839 left in cash. I could have pulled out more here, but we played it conservative and left some juice in the account. Now 1.32 is what we pulled out. This example is the same policy, 50 for 10 years, and pulling out 70 forever. And what we did that's consistent here is we pulled out the exact same net dollar figure. We just did it in a consistent amount, 70 every year. The other example, we fluctuated. The only thing I mainly wanted to model there is I can change it. I should say the policyholder can change it at their discretion. You do not have to just flip on an income switch and annuitize your account forever. You've got some flexibility there. So these are illustrations directly from the company. All right, so we ran all of these direct. We've already got the inputs in here. Here's the first Mass Mutual example. I know this is complex looking at these numbers. Once it loads, while we wait for that, let's look at the Guardian numbers. All right, so when we solve for different inputs, we can actually punch in the values that we want to take out via income each year. So literally, when we design these accounts, we design them in-house with different companies, whether it's Mass Guardian, whether it's New York Life, or if someone wants to see smaller carriers like Penn, Lafayette, SML, a million other companies out there, we can model those as well. Software might be giving us a hard time. So why don't we conclude there? Oh, there we go. Software works. Let's open the floor to questions. Does anyone have questions or comments on anything we reviewed this evening? All right. Well, appreciate everyone taking some time to connect. We'll talk to you all next week. Have a great evening.